a little bit of everything and do some singing, some dancing, some chatting with the guests, the skits, the monologues, the comedy.
Holmberg's Morning Sickness.
Wonderful comedy.
It really is a lot of fun.
We got Slash for 6 minutes, Brady. It's not important anymore.
Okay, give me a
ladies and gentlemen, because of the time constraints, we must get right to Slash, who's on the phone as we speak. Let's get right to it. To end the Brady Report, Slash is on the phone. Are you there, sir?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm just reeling from the thumb and the whatever it was that you guys just said.
There was a dude in Australia took a dead kangaroo and lured a 1,400-pound crocodile towards him.
So he could sit on its back
so he could ride him. Yeah. You've been around the world. You ever give that a run?
No, never tried that. That sounds like an Australian thing for sure.
Yeah, but, well, it certainly is. Yeah, you can't find a dead kangaroo here in Arizona. If you can, there's probably trouble.
They have the biggest, the salty crocodile in Australia is one of the biggest in the world.
Yeah. Estuarian crocodiles. I was on the beach once and they were warning us about those things.
Yeah, they're saltwater crocodiles. They're definitely the biggest, even over the Nile crocodile.
Yeah, and they
tiny bite.
They have no fear in telling you that stuff, too. It's like, estuarian crocodile, I've been sighted. Have fun at the beach. It's like, I'm not going to the beach anymore. That's crazy.
Yeah, no, they're man-eaters. So, and they're super intelligent, too. So they can stalk a bather that comes down to the beach every weekend and be patient enough to wait to see a pattern and then take them down.
Good Lord, man.
If they don't get you in the water, they stalk you all the way to your house.
That sounds awful. Oh, good Lord. Well, anyway, it's good to kick it off there.
You have a beachfront, you know.
Did you ever drag Axel to the beach on a regular basis trying to get that to happen?
No. Never. I don't think we ever really hung out at the beach.
Yeah. Even in the worst times, like, hey, Axel, let's go to the beach. Just for, you know, he probably knew. No, not at all. And I got to say, the new song is fantastic. The new record is great. You were just here in Phoenix a couple weeks ago, yeah?
Yeah, that was our first gig.
Yeah.
First show on the tour was in Phoenix.
Yeah, I noticed on your Twitter / after each show you put out, like, hey, Phoenix, great job. You really kicked ass last night. And I noticed, I wondered, is there a city that doesn't get, because like Austin did, and then you had a couple other shows that you were really having. Like, is that a sign that the crowd kind of sucked if you don't tweet out great job?
That's funny. There's never been a crowd that's been so bad that I didn't say anything.
Yeah.
But there's some maybe that I might have been a little less enthusiastic than others, you know, but that's rare. I mean, you know, crowds by and large have been amazing.
Pretty awesome. As
like the tweet would be Yuma, good hustle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good hustle.
Maybe next time, Yuma. Yeah. Maybe next. And worse yet.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Thanks for having us. Worse yet. I mean, maybe it's your fault for booking Yuma in the first place.
Yeah.
I mean, you and Miles deserve better than that. It's fun touring, though. I went to the kickoff of the Guns N' Roses show in Vegas. A couple of years ago now.
And yeah, it was a couple of years ago.
Yeah, you guys crushed T-Mobile Arena. It was unbelievable. Did you know the story about the microphones both nights? That Axel threw out in the... Okay, so at the end of the show, Axel throws the mic out into the crowd. And you did a Friday and a Saturday night. The same guy caught it both nights.
Oh, you know what? I did hear about that.
Yeah.
I did.
And that was insane.
Oh, what's the chances, right?
Yeah. And he was sitting in two different spots. It was insane. How was that first night? Was that reminiscent of like the butterflies you got the first few times you went up on the rainbow or a big stage in the past?
Well, truth be told, I get butterflies. I still do after all these years of doing this. But the first gun shows were very surreal because you know, I mean, it's been 20 years. But actually, at that time, it had been 22 years since the last time that I played together with them. And the first gig, the first actual gig that we did before Vegas was at the Troubadour. That was the warm-up show. And that was the club that we basically got our start at. And the one time that was, you know, walking up to soundcheck and sort of reminiscent of back to 1985, that was the trip. But then the next thing was playing in Vegas and playing in that big sort of,
it's awesome,
you know, arena-type setting. And it was just awesome.
Yeah, you know, it was incredible.
I can't really compare it to anything.
Yeah, the best part.
It wasn't like going back 20 years. It didn't compare to anything from our previous, you know, like tours way back in the day. It all seemed very sort of fresh and new, even though I've known these guys for almost 40 years.
Yeah. What was crazy though is I remember everybody had this palpable feeling of what's it going to be? Because nobody knew. And even Alice in Chains.
So did we.
That's probably true. Alice in Chains even. I remember I don't remember if it was Lane or William or not Lane, but Jerry or William that said, you know, we're just here for guns too. We'll get through this as quick as we can. There was this feeling, this anticipation that was coming up. And somewhere about the fourth song, it felt like you guys knew we're killing it. And it just got bigger and bigger. It was unreal. And I don't know if that's something that still excites you. I know it does, but I mean, you still get that. Like, has it ever overwhelmed you again?
Yeah, there's a lot of moments. I mean, there's a lot of special moments that happen on a regular basis. I mean, ever since this thing first started, it's hard to verbally describe it, but it's got such an energy to it, and the chemistry between you know, the guys in the band and the audience and all that is so massive that it sort of has a life of its own, yeah. You know, and you're just sort of along for the ride. It's really a gas, man. Like it's hard to put a fine point on it,
yeah.
But it's a blast.
Yeah, I saw Queen Friday up in Vegas, too.
Oh, how's that? I want to see
Queen. Unreal. And it ended on Saturday night, so we saw the second to last show, and they just tore it up. But I never realized, and maybe I'm wrong, how much Brian May and you have a similar tone in your guitar work. Was he an influence to you? Yeah, it was really kind of strange. It's not like you play the same way, but the tone of the guitar was like, it's the only other time I'm like, God, that sounds a little like Slash.
I mean, Brian is one of my favorite all-time guitar players. And I don't, you know, I'm sure that some elements of Brian are inherent in what I do because I grew up listening to him. Right. I never really tried to emulate his tone, so to speak. I think he's got one of the most unique tones in the, you know, out of all the guitar players that I came up listening to. But if there's something in there that sounds a little bit like him, that's all good.
Yeah, I was curious.
I know Brian, so he's the sweetest guy. And if I was copying his tone, he'd be pleased.
Yeah, and it wasn't even like a copy. It was just like, wow, I definitely heard an influence that it was weird because I'd never heard it before.
Definitely an influence.
Yeah, I never heard it before. Now, I talked to the former – I'm pals with Alan Niven, and he called me last night to talk about – because he knew you were going to be on here. And I said, anything I can tell Slash – that would, you know, throw him a curveball. And all he said was, darling, just tell him congratulations on the divorce papers.
That sounds like Alan.
Yeah. And I'm like, that's what you're giving me all the years and all the time. And then Alan, he goes, oh, I have to tell you this too, Slash. And he goes, also remind him that he's hung. And I'm like, I'm not going to do that, but I just did.
No, he didn't really say
he
that.
He sure did.
No
he
way.
Was he was effing with me, but he did say that because he's not giving me any juice. Yeah, he's an interesting dude.
He is very. Yeah, Alan's a great guy.
Yeah, he is. He's awesome. Now your new album is called Living the Dream. It is you can get it starting today, right? It's everywhere now, right?
Yeah, no, it's been out since the 21st.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I thought it was just limited, but it's all out now. And feelings about the new record? How do you feel about it?
I think it. You know, I mean, I hate to pat myself on the back or anything like that. So, but I mean, I really think it's a cool rock and roll record. I'm really glad where the band is at this point, you know, sort of watching from where we started up till now. I think there's been a great sort of gradual evolution, you know. And I dig and playing the songs live, and I'm just generally happy about the whole thing.
Yeah, and people seem to be responding to it pretty well. It's got some hit songs on it. That's a guarantee that you guys have knocked that out. So is that the goal when you're writing these things, is to try to light a fire under rock and roll again, or is it all for you?
I'd be lying if I said it wasn't to turn yourself on first. Basically, you want to do something that you get a kick out of, and then when you put it out there, hopefully other people will get a kick out of. And with rock and roll, you can make a rock and roll record and hope that people dig it, and that's about all you can do for rock and roll sake, right, is do something that does it justice. But I don't know if that's necessarily a conscious thing that you're doing when you're making a record.
Right.
Slash,
how long
do
you...
I don't know what to answer that.
No, yeah, and I get what you're saying. It's, you know, it's got to be... You got to enjoy it in order for other people to enjoy it, basically, right?
Right, right.
Yeah.
Now, if you're not digging it, people pick up on it immediately.
Right. Now, when you go
in... And if you're not doing it from the heart, that's the other thing that they recognize right away.
Are there any bands out there that you've, like, because when you were growing up, we all do it, where you're like, how is this band making it? How is this happening? Is there any bands you resent?
No, I mean,
it's got to be one.
Listen, it's it's hard enough to do what it is that, you know, we're doing and to do it to the best of your ability and to stay focused and all that kind of stuff. I can't be bothered about, you know, resenting other bands.
So that's only for us fans. So we get mad at, like because people are so mean to Nickelback and stuff, and it's, like, crazy.
I know.
Why it happens, you're just like, these guys work hard. If you don't like it, turn it off.
Right, that's the truth. I mean, you know, the spending all your time complaining about something that somebody else is doing, just, you know, unless it's affecting how you live, I wouldn't worry about it.
Right. Yeah. Now tell me, before we let you go, Slash, with the new album out and everything else, you're touring. We missed you in Phoenix a week ago. This could have been a concert announcement as well. You'll come back, I'm sure.
Right.
Tell me one story about your time with Michael Jackson, because that was just a weird time for you and him, wasn't it?
When he and I first hooked up to record, what was it, Given to Me, and there was another song called Black or White, I think.
Yeah.
I got a phone call that he was looking to talk to me, and I went down to the record plant and met him there. And the funniest thing about that, it wasn't a weird time for either one of us at that particular moment. Was that he was dating, that was when he was dating Brooke Shields. And so I walked into the studio and I'm faced by Michael Jackson, which is in his and of itself enough. But then there was Brooke Shields with him, and it was sort of like
the eyebrows.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, and then, so after that initial shock, you know, he said, yeah, record your thing, have fun, and took off and just left me free reign in the studio with his engineer. And I did my thing, but then we went off and played a bunch of shows and did some videos and stuff. And he was just a really, you know, amazing talent. Like all the sort of credit and accolades that he's ever gotten. I mean, he really was that brilliant. And just working next to him, you could really see it.
Did you get a weird
vibe?
There
was never any weirdness going on with Michael.
No, because I'm always like, because that's kind of it's almost a culture clash between the way you were running and the way he was running. At the time, it just seems like that was just like...
Yeah, he was trying to bring it together.
I mean, when it came down to it, you know, it was just about music, and there wasn't really none of that. You know? Very soulful stuff, and I could identify with that, and he could identify with where I was coming from, and that's how those two things work.
Now you're single again. Maybe we give Brooke a call.
Well, I'm not single anyway.
Darn it all. Oh, you're with Brooke already?
Can we
break the news?
I've been with somebody for a while.
All right, well, good for you on that one. I wish you nothing but success, man. I mean, you're a legend. It's unbelievable. You're so down to earth, because it truly are a guitar legend up there with the Hendrix and the Eddie Van Halens and all the people who have done it. And you got your own sound, and it's a pleasure.
I don't know about all that, but
that's a fact.
Thank you very much.
You do know it, and you should embrace it. I think it's pretty awesome. Album's out right now, Slash. Anytime you want to be on the show and you want Niven to spill the beans about how big you are, you come to the right place.
All right.
Thank you, man. We'll talk to you
soon.
All right.
Thanks, man.
See you. Slash, everybody. He's right in the middle of the Brady Report. That's a better than that Brady-o video nonsense.
he seemed to enjoy it a little bit.
Yeah, about Slash's dick for 30
minutes. Hey, look. I did. I talked to the former Guns N' Roses manager last night.
That's what he had to say.
And I said, because Chris Cotero, who's the bass player for Mick Brown and in my band, too, he's a Steeler fan. He comes to my house for Steeler games. And he goes, I'm going to call Niven at halftime and see if I can get dirt, because he knows you're going to talk to Slash tomorrow. I'm like, good. And Alan calls everybody darling. Everybody. So Cotero goes, Alan wants to talk to you for a second. And the Steelers are up 30-10 at the half, and he's a football fanatic. And I'm like, what's up, Alan? He goes, just sitting at home trying to hope that Ben Roethlisberger doesn't absolutely the bed in the second half. I'm like, all right, that's enough of that. I got one half. Like, what are we talking about with Slash? Well, first off, congratulate him for his divorce. He's finally signed the papers, which is a nightmare. He'll never get rid of the scars, but at least the claws are out. I'm like, all right. What else? Well, you can also talk about how hung he is. I'm like, I'm not going to do that. Although that, maybe
you
I
did.
Will.
Yeah.
I might. I'm going to bring that up.
Tell me more.
I'm going to bring that up. Then he just laughed. And then we talked about Jack
Darling.
Russell for a little while. Yeah. Darling, listen. Listen, darling. And he calls me darling, and he talks so quietly. Hello, darling.
Is he really a Steelers fan?
No, he's not. He's a football fan.
Oh, okay.
He loves football, up and down, follows it. Like, he's got like 10 fantasy teams. He knows everything there is. And it's weird to hear his soft voice say, darling, you're ridiculous for even thinking Juju Smith-Schuster's going to have a big night. It's crazy. He's up against the secondary that will shut him down. I'm like, wow.
The Niv.
This is just a voice you don't expect fantasy football information from. I like to have it as a podcast. Alan Niven's Darling Fantasy Football. He's great. But yeah, Slash's album is out today with Miles Kennedy and the Conspirators. And there's this tweet for Phoenix. Now, he does it for every city. It says, hey, thank you, Phoenix, for a killer evening. You guys were effing brilliant. Wow, cheers. And then, like, little emojis
his
and stuff.
His Slash emoji.
Yeah, and it's in, and then you scroll down, and it's like, hey, Austin, great job last night.
Up here, yep.
And he's got all the cities they're in, he always fires up. But I'm curious if there are cities missing, and then people from that city go and look and go, oh, we didn't get it. Monster effing crowd in Austin tonight. Incredible energy. Cheers, you guys. R and F and R. Mmm. But, like, yeah, where's the ones like, hey, Albuquerque, game effort.
Thanks.
Looking for more next time.
You were there.
Yeah. You gave a real 70%. We'll go back to the drawing board. We don't live in our own fears.
You get one more shot at this.
Have a great summer.
Yeah, or just we're on to Indianapolis. Just pulls a Belichick on him. Anyway, Slash, go get the record today. He is truly a musical legend. And wouldn't admit to trying to kill Axel on the beach.
With an alligator?
Quickly, yeah.
Had opportunities.
Had many opportunities.
Didn't want to stir that up.
Basically, what he said was, we never hung out on the beach, which to me, I read between the lines. I did never talk to the guy when we were
out. I saw him on stage.
Yeah, it's about when we met. So what are you going to do? There you go. The Brady Report with an interview, a special guest. That's pretty great. It's 98 KUPD.
Our country is facing a major crisis. We need to find out what's causing it.
KUPD.
Slash was just with us a second ago. We'll play the new one from Slash in just a little bit. But the interview was good, and some guy emailed and said, I was under the impression that Slash was a prima donna douchebag who hated every new age music thing that went out because it wasn't as good as stuff he released 20 years ago. But the interview made him seem really down to earth. Is this the new Slash or just solid work from the PR department, Damien?
Where did he get that impression from? I don't ever remember Slash.
Yeah, I don't remember him being that way. But I think maybe you just really liked Slash because the interviewer was so quality. I think it was just the top-notch interviewing technique that made you go, wow, I've changed my mind on Slash. I made him feel comfortable. Other interviews, he starts screaming about new age music. He's well known for it.
Well, there was a texter that said, tell John to shut up. Let Axel answer the question.
That's fine. Let them go ahead. The answer is Holmberg's morning sickness. No. It's called a conversation, jackass.
And it was great. He was excited about the Crocs right off the bat.
Yeah, very excited about crocodiles. And estuarian ones, which are the scariest thing on the planet. Someone else emailed and said, my favorite part of the entire interview wasn't Slash, and it wasn't you, John. It was when Brady decided to say one word during the entire interview and shout it with gusto.
Eyebrows!
I didn't catch that you one-worded eyebrows out like that. I know you said it. But it was very impressive that you just shouted
Brooke
eyebrows.
Shields,
right?
Yeah. Brady one-worded Brooke
Shields. Nailed it.
Down to one descriptive thing.
That should be your new thing.
Eyebrows!
And Brady Tourette.
But it's almost like telling the punchline in a way when he walked into the room. Yeah, what are the things you're going
to
see?
He didn't know there was another guy in the room up to that point.
Oh, I had said some things
before. No, I'm just saying. Like, at that point, it kind of got to where it was two people having a conversation, and then the guy in the back goes, eyebrows! What happened? Oh, you mentioned Brooke Shields. My friends will do that. I would like to be on the other
side. As long as I hear him chuckle. That's...
Sure. That's your goal?
Yeah.
If Slash chuckles, you're a happy young man?
Yep.
I don't think he chuckled there.
That's where that's when he chuckled at other points. But people just yelling eyebrows at him makes him feel sorry for them. Usually. Oh, a gomper.
Mm. Eyebrows!
I didn't hear it. I want to hear it now. I want to hear how prominent it was, or if it was just a background guy like Homer screaming, don't you hate these pants? Eyebrow.
Love Toledo, get it.
We're working on it. It's like once I got the email from this guy, Jerry, I didn't. Did you have it? Is it loaded?
Oh, it's not
really. Oh, come on, man.
Darn it.
We'll get it together. Hold
come on, man.
Come on, man. You've been mossed.
You've been mossed.
You've been mossed. There it is. This is Brady in the middle of the Slash interview. You have 1 second.
Yeah, that's all it is, huh?
That was where you came
in. It was the eyebrows.
The eyebrows.
Like the Ohio State.
Yeah. Okay. Brooke Shields. See, I think of her as naked a lot. You think of her eyebrows. Is that your first thought with Brooke?
Yeah.
You were to draw her as giant eyebrows? See, I just think of her preteen nudity. A lot of it. That Blue Lagoon was on again the other day. That is a tough one for a man 46 to look at. Kind of get out of there. She was hot, too. She still looks good, but back in the day. Her mother was crazy. Let her get naked and everything. Pretty Darlings or whatever that movie was, where she was a 13-year-old prostitute. Totally nude, walking around the house all the time. You're like, geez, this is, my pants hurt. There she is in that Blue Lagoon with her.
With her eyebrows.
Eyebrows. What do you see there, Brady? I can only imagine. It's one thing.
They even covered the eyebrows.
All right. Calm down.
Covered her breasts.
Those weren't eyebrows. That's her hair.
Oh.
Although it would be very impressive. Brooke, we need to grow your eyebrows out. You got to cover up those boobs because we can't show them. You're underage. Yeah, that's what I told her. God, she was hot. This is hard. This is hard for me to be a part of. Yeah, that Blue Lagoon's on and they're out there running around. She makes a baby and stuff. And they start with the baby and the baby's swimming around naked. Next thing you know, there's Brooke Shields. And I don't know how old she was during that, but she's naked and she swims by. You're like, oh, my God. I have an inappropriate boner. And I'm not afraid to use it.
Judge Kavanaugh, right here.
It says here you used to masturbate to the Blue Lagoon quite a bit. Mm-hmm. When did that stop? It's supposed to stop. I know. So, yeah, that was a toughie, but there you go. So the eyebrows, that's how it works. It's 8:20 in the morning sickness. Thanks to Slash for not being a prima donna or a jerk for a quality, top-notch interview with the old Slash. I like him. And the new album is out again. It came out last week, I guess, and rolled forward and has been doing quite well. We'll play the new Slash coming out of the break. Also, what do we have front row seats to, Eric?
We have floor seats for the Foo Fighters, and then we have Monster
what?
Jam tickets, too.
Floor to the Foo.
Floor to the Foo.
It was 2 weeks from yesterday, so maybe we get some Floor to the Foo seats in just moments. We'll figure out how we can give
she
you those.
14 in blue.
Good Lord. What were they thinking? And why do they still replay it?
If they don't replay
it. It was
when?
On just the other night. I just said it. That's what I was just talking
it.
About. I've seen it several
and
times.
Endless Love.
She was 15 in Endless Love? Good Lord.
They used to play it all the time.
They show it. It's
I
on.
Seen it.
Oh, it's on the movie channels quite a bit. I actually have seen it probably three times in the last couple of years. Yeah, it's on a lot. It was on a week ago. I watched it. I was about to go to bed, and they show it late at night. It's not right. Show it in the middle of the day.
That other one you mentioned?
Yeah.
Pretty Baby?
Pretty Baby.
She was 12.
She's 12, totally nude in that one. And they have a scene where she, like some guy pays extra dough to come in and take her flower. And then you hear it going on in another room. Like, what the? It's brutal. She's 14? They got to stop showing that. If Kevin Spacey can't have a job anymore, they can't show that movie. You can't. At least they got in a little bit of
the
trouble.
The show
for
must
Bobby
go
Baby.
On,
no,
Joe.
No.
She
was 14. I know.
It's worse. She was 12 when it came out.
Oh, God. Yeah, this can't be a thing. You can't show it anymore. Find out when it airs next. I think it's on Stars. Oh, good Lord. This society was a disaster back then. What are you going to do?
Our country is facing a major crisis. We need to find out what's causing it.
Yeah.